Welcome to PGAFC Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the word to transform lives.
Firstly, I would like to wish everyone a very blessed Chinese New Year. Huara! Spiritual huara, huh? And it's my hope and prayer that you have had a blessed time with friends, family, and loved ones. It's also a very eventful season. There are many things happening at this moment. I trust that we remember that our friends and colleagues are fasting for this month. And also we as Christians are observing the first Sunday of Lent this week. And so this morning we will resume our series on Luke and the Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, Reverend Dickey expounded on the beginning of the ministry of Jesus in the region of Galilee. This was where Jesus' early ministry took place geographically. And in this chapter, we will see a transition where Jesus and his disciples will begin now the second part of his ministry as they begin their journey to Jerusalem. Usually the ministry of Jesus can be divided into three parts. The first part is his ministry in Galilee. The second part is from Galilee to Jerusalem. And the final part is the last week of Jesus' life where he was in Jerusalem, where he would be arrested and crucified. So let us take a look at the passage this morning. I want to invite Adana, our youth and children ministry worker, to read us the passage this morning. It's a rather long passage, so can I ask you that if you have your Bibles with you, that you turn with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 6, and then Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 24.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, so I'll be reading from Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 6 first. One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. So they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. Now I'll be reading from Luke 10, verse 1 to 24. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you now. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, we wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your faith. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. I assure you, even wicked Sodom will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day. What sorrow awaits you, Chorazin and Bethsaida? For the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon. Their people would have repented from their sins long ago, clothing themselves in burlap and throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse. Yes, Tyre and Sidon will be better off on Judgment Day than you. And you, people of Capernaum, will you be honored in heaven? No, you will go down to the place of the dead. Then he said to the disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. Anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we used your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. At the same time, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, and he said, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then, when they were alone, he turned to the disciples and said, Blessed are the eyes that see what you have seen. I tell you, many prophets and kings long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it.
Thank you, Adena. This is the word of the Lord. So the disciples were sent in pairs. One of the things that I've been trying to improve is my English. My English is quite poor. So I used to tell my wife, open the light. Then she said, it's turn on the light. So one of the things that I learned recently is an oxymoron. Most of you will know what it is, like seriously funny. How can it be serious and funny at the same time? And so when I was shopping recently online, I found an oxymoron. You know what it is? Apple AirPods, because they come as a pair. All right, thanks for laughing with me. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we come forth to listen to your word, especially in this first Sunday of Lent, we pray that you will speak to us through your Holy Spirit, that you will help mold, equip, and shape us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start with a short sharing. I think most of us would know Pastor Aaron, who served here as a pastor for many years, up to 2016. For me, as an aspiring young pastor many years ago, Pastor Aaron was a very important role model for me. And one of the things that he did very naturally was he was able to talk to anyone about anything. Nowadays, I still see him sometimes in the gym in Atria, and some things never change. He is still as friendly, as chatty. Most of the gym know him, and yeah, he's still as strong as ever. He's, I think, 70 years old. He's benching 70 kilos or 70, 80 kilos. Strong guy. However, several years ago, I was very surprised to find out when he revealed to me that he was an introvert. And so I asked him, Pastor, how do you find the energy to talk to people? And he told me this, that as an introvert, he would need to regulate his energy so that he has enough of it to talk to people when he needs to. And so for him, his downtime is very important to recharge his social battery. So as an introvert, I found this piece of information really important. And sometimes I will need to find space or quietness to recharge before I begin talking to people. This concept of recharging, of being filled, is also important to the concept of discipleship. Because, friends, discipleship takes place in both the church, inside the church, and outside of it. And from the passage this morning, we will see that the role of the church is to equip and to help us recharge spiritually, so that we may resume the work of discipleship outside for the rest of the week. Because as today's passage would reveal, most of the discipleship actually takes place outside of church. So up to the passage that we have read just now, if we summarize the work of Jesus so far, we see that he did two things consistently. The first thing that he did was that he preached the gospel, or about the kingdom of God. I'll be using these two things interchangeably. And secondly, we see that he did many miracles, and most of it would involve healing the sick and driving out demons. So up till now, the disciples were mainly observers. They would have listened to the teachings of Jesus many times and they would have witnessed his many great deeds. But in this passage, this would begin to change. Because now, instead of being observers, Jesus will call them to participate in his work. And so these were his instructions to the disciples. He called the 12 of them together and gave them power and authority over demons and diseases. And he gave them two commands. The first is to tell everyone about the kingdom of God, to preach the gospel. And the second command is to heal the sick. So these two commandments to the disciples are this. Firstly, preach the kingdom of God, preach the gospel. And secondly, heal the sick. Now, other than these commands, there are also a few other instructions. Well, firstly, the disciples are to travel light. They are not to carry a walking stick or, in some commentaries, a stick to ward off wild animals or robbers. And secondly, they are not to bring a bag, food, or even money. When they arrive in a village, they are to only reside in only one home. And if the village rejects them, they are to shake off the dust of their feet. So I will be explaining about the implication of these commands later on. But firstly, I want to focus on the main point of this passage. In PGEFC, we've been talking about discipleship for many years, especially ever since 2019, where Elder Chow Chi Yen directed the leadership, the pastoral team, and church to focus on building a culture on discipleship. Indeed, here in PGEFC, we believe that discipleship is very central to us and to our philosophy of ministry. However, discipleship is a very big word. And sometimes we might misunderstand discipleship as just learning, either from the Bible studies, from the sermons, or from our 3-2-1 groups. Now, yes, these things are part of discipleship. But friends, indeed, we see that in this passage, we see that for the work of discipleship, that there is an expectation of us going out and doing that work. And so discipleship in this context means that we are also sent out. And as we do the work of God outside the church, we are engaging in discipleship. Now this has many implications because this means that whatever we do out of the four walls of the church from Monday to Saturday is equal or maybe even more important than what we do here when we meet together on Sunday morning. So church, remember this. Yes, the work of discipleship takes place within the four walls of the church, but more importantly, most of discipleship takes place outside the church. So what does this discipleship look like? Well, here the two key commands are this to the disciples: preach the gospel and heal the sick. So what does this look like for us today? Does this mean we are to talk about Christianity all the time in our work to our friends or family? Like when you know when you low sang and then you have non-Christians in your midst, you sneak in the blessing or God bless you. Does it mean when it comes to healing the sick, does it mean that we are to pray for healing for all the sick people we know? Or at best, if we take it literally, does this mean our secretly all Christians are actually called to be doctors? Well, the answer is actually yes and no. So let's dive a little deeper into these two commands from Jesus. And we will start first with the first command, to preach the gospel, to preach the kingdom of God. So what is the gospel? Well, the Bible tells us that it is good news. And why is it good news? Now the teachings of Jesus gives us a hint to this, that hope is now coming. And the form of this hope is a new kingdom. This, however, is not an earthly kingdom that comprises of territories or military prowess, but this is a heavenly kingdom, a kingdom that is not of this world. And from the teachings of Jesus, it tells us that this is an upside-down kingdom, that from the Beatitudes, it is a kingdom where the poor, the hungry, the forgotten, the grieving, the abused, and those who are mocked are valued. And these people in this new kingdom, these people will have hope. Now, this is very different if we contrast it with our world. Because in our world, it seems that those who are rich, those who are prosperous, those who have it all, and those who are adored by many are the ones that will do well. But in the kingdom to come, this is what it says. All of us, whether we are rich or poor, will have to answer to God. Now, I need to mention that it's not wrong to be rich or famous. But Jesus' point is that in our world, sometimes we see that there is no justice. And what we see from the Epstein files, we see that the powerful can get away with many things. But behold, a time is coming where this will not happen anymore. That a kingdom that is ruled by God will be coming. And this is a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of justice, and a kingdom of mercy. And so if we read the Beatitudes in the Gospel of Luke, we get a hint on how to preach the gospel. Friends, do you know anyone who is suffering from grieving, from poverty, from injustice, or from cruel circumstances in our world? Because if you do, preaching the gospel means to provide, to comfort, to fight for justice, and to speak hope to those who are suffering. Now, the inverse is also true, that preaching the gospel means that we have to call out the injustices in our world, that we hold people in power and wealth who abuse it to be accountable, that we need to use our voice, our resources, our connections, and our all to be a voice for those who have no voice. Friends, all of this also is discipleship. So, church, can I ask you a question? That as you go back out to the world this week and the next, the question is this: who needs the gospel? Now, the answer is everyone, of course. But maybe a more targeted question for our application is this: who do you think God is asking you to preach the gospel to? Who do you think needs the good news of the coming kingdom? And how can we, through our words, our prayers, and our actions, give those who need it a peek of this kingdom to come? Friends, if no one comes to your mind, I ask that you pray, that you turn to the Lord and ask Him to reveal and to equip you to be the voice of the gospel in your families, in your workplace, and in your communities. Because as you minister to them, you are doing the work of discipleship. The second command is to heal the sick. And friends, I believe that when Jesus commands us to do this, this doesn't just refer always to physical healing. But in our world, because of sin and the effects of sin, we have many who are spiritually, mentally, or emotionally sick. And friends, our calling as Christians is to minister to them as part of our journey of discipleship. Here, I believe, is not so much about the method of bringing healing, but rather more importantly is that we have the heart and empathy to care for the sick in our midst. And like the earlier application, my prayer is that we search our hearts for the prompting of the Holy Spirit, for I believe that the Lord has placed many who are sick in our lives and in our communities. So, church, from the passage this morning, this is an important point about discipleship. That discipleship is not just about learning and reading, but rather discipleship is also about action. It's also about doing. It's about taking action, and most of the time, this will take place outside our church. It will take place outside our cell groups, and it will take place in our neighborhood, our workplace, and our communities. And here, maybe the question you might have is this: how do we preach the gospel? How do I heal the sick? You might be asking yourself, am I equipped to say the right things or to take the right actions so that I can minister to the hopeless, the needy, and to the ones who need the gospel? Now, friends, if we choose to obey Jesus in this journey of discipleship, I must also set our expectations. Because Jesus mentions to the disciples that as they travel from village to village, if they are faced with rejection, the disciples are to shake the dust off their feet as they leave. Now, this act of shaking dust means they that the disciples have done all they can, but to no avail. Now, yes, the Lord did say that there is a consequence when it comes to rejecting the gospel. But actually, I do not think that this is the focus of this passage. Because I think that the main point of Jesus when he brings this up is not to focus on condemnation or judgment. Rather, what he was doing is that he was warning his disciples that rejection is normal and rejection is to be expected. In fact, in chapter 10, when Jesus sent out the 72 disciples, Jesus himself would mention that even he was rejected by the people of his hometown. That despite teaching and doing many miracles in Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum in his early ministry, ultimately, Jesus was rejected by them. And of course, if Jesus himself is rejected, there would definitely be those who reject us and the message that we are bringing to them. So part of discipleship is to expect rejection and not to take it personally. Because ultimately, the one that is being rejected is not us, it is Jesus. Now, what this means is that as we preach the good news, as we show kindness, mercy, and grace, and when we speak out against the injustices and evils of our world, sometimes it will fall on deaf ears. Sometimes the people whom we care about, the people whom we are ministering to, will be the one who hurt us. Sometimes it will be the person whom we are praying for, the people who we are making an effort to disciple, to love and to care, will not respond the way that we want them to. But friends, this doesn't mean we are to stop, because rejection is very much a part of discipleship. And so my prayer is that we be like the 12 disciples and the 72 that are sent out, that we take courage in going out and doing the work of discipleship, in preaching the word through our speech and actions, and by ministering that to all who need Jesus. And that we will have the perseverance to last, to continue to be faithful, even when faced with disappointment and rejection. Now, if you notice, I've been talking about the 12 and 72 for a while now. And just to bring everyone up to speed, earlier on we read two parts of scripture. The first part in chapter 9 talks about the sending of the 12, and then there is a little break. Now, in the little break, there are many things that happen. There is a transfiguration. There's Jesus who revealed to his disciples that he's the Messiah. But after that, we will then continue in chapter 10, where he sends out the 72 disciples to do the same task, which is preaching the gospel and healing the sick. Now, other than these two commands, to preach the gospel and to heal the sick and the expectations of rejection, what are some other commonalities between these two passages? Well, the answer is this. It is dependence. Because when Jesus sent out the 12 or the 72, Jesus instructs them not to take money or a traveler's bag and other items. And what this means is that the disciples will have to learn to depend on Jesus as they do the work of discipleship in the field. Now, when we read this, it can be scary, especially if we want to take it literally. Does this mean we have to quit our jobs and learn to survive day to day as disciples of Jesus? Friends, thankfully, I don't think this passage instructs us to follow these instructions literally. But still, the principle remains the same. Because when Jesus gave these instructions to his disciples, the principle is that the disciples will need to depend on Jesus and the Holy Spirit for the work of discipleship. The implication is that as the disciples head on to different villages and encounter different challenges and adversities in different contexts, they are to fully depend on God to provide and to supply their every need. Now, this is both liberating and challenging at the same time. It is liberating because we know that as we do the work of discipleship, it is the Holy Spirit that teaches us, that guides us, that provides for us, that gives us wisdom, strength, and perseverance whenever it is needed. And as such, all of us can and all of us should be disciples of Jesus, not just in the four walls of the church, but as you go back to the communities and contexts that the Lord has placed you in. All of us, whether you have been a Christian for a few months, a year, 10 years, or even more than that, all of us are able to do the work of discipleship because at the end of the day, we need to depend on God to help us. However, as I mentioned, this can also be challenging for a few reasons. For the younger Christians, maybe the challenge on depending on God is that learning to depend on God takes time. It makes us uncomfortable. It teaches us to be humble. And it puts us in a position where we need to realize that discipleship is impossible without Jesus. However, an older disciple would also have challenges when it comes to dependence as well. This is even after years of studying the scriptures and serving the Lord, sometimes even in a leadership position. Because this is true, sometimes when serving the Lord for a while, sometimes we allow overconfidence to grow, and sometimes we allow our own wills and wants to interfere with ministry. Now, we can see this actually happen exactly to the disciples right after they served the Lord. Because in chapter 9, after the disciples successfully returned to Jesus, we see that they began to grow overconfident. And when Jesus revealed to them that he was the Messiah, the disciples then began to allow pride and ambition to take over. And just like how our politicians compete for the most glamorous portfolios after winning an election, the disciples began to compete on who would receive the more prestigious positions should Jesus be the political Messiah that they are expecting him to be. And so after doing plenty of miracles earlier, we see that in chapter 9, later on, suddenly the disciples were unable to heal a demon-possessed boy. And this was how Jesus rebuked his disciples as stubborn and faithless people. Now, so in this case, stubborn and faithless is not used to rebuke someone who has not done or not started the work of God, but rather it was used to rebuke his disciples who have witnessed his teachings and miracles and who have even participated in discipleship. So friends, when it comes to the work of discipleship, inside and outside the church, let us remember this key principle to depend on Jesus and the Holy Spirit in everything. That we depend on him to prepare the people that he wants us to reach out to. That we depend on him to send us where he wants us to go. That we depend on him to prepare the context and the type of discipleship he wants us to engage in. For when we are in the thick of things, that we need to depend on him for wisdom, for power, for strength, and for empathy. So friends, earlier on we have established that most of discipleship takes place outside the church. But here I need to mention that this doesn't mean one is more important than the other. Because I'm also a firm believer that attending church helps equip us for discipleship in the outside world. In fact, this is a key reason why we come to church. And yes, while I do believe that coming to church allows one to personally encounter the Lord through the actions of worship, such as singing, prayer, and listening to the sermon as the Lord ministers to us personally. But much more than this, I am a firm believer that the purpose of whatever we do in Sunday worship helps to get us ready for the work of discipleship for the rest of the week. The church at the end of the day is like a pit stop where we get ourselves spiritually evaluated and then ministered to and equipped so that we can be better ministers outside. And so here I'm proposing a paradigm shift that we do not just come to church just for the sake of receiving and benefiting personally, but rather that we come to church to be ready to receive and to be ready to be equipped for the work of discipleship outside. So friends, how does the service recharge and prepare you for the week ahead? Does the pre-service prayer put us in a right posture of worship? Does the songs that we sing remind us of our God, that he is kind and just, but powerful and worthy of all worship, and that there is nothing that he can do? Does the Holy Communion remind us that we are not alone in our journey of discipleship? that the Lord has prepared mentors, friends, a cell group, and a church to do discipleship together? Does the pastoral prayer help re-energize you spiritually or point you to a group of individuals whom the Lord will want you to minister to? Does the announcement point us towards a Christian education class, a prayer activity like the prayer walk that is happening on Wednesday, or activity that can help us grow spiritually? Does the reading and preaching of the Word of God in the sermon help rebuke, instruct, inspire, or point us in the right direction for the next week? Now, actually, the benediction is a pinnacle from our transition from this place to the work of discipleship outside the four walls of the church. And this is actually the role of the benediction. Now, I don't know if you notice it, but whenever the benediction is announced, the rightful following words that needs to be said is for us to go in peace, to love and serve the Lord. And so the benediction is a blessing for those who attend church, not for us to keep it or to hoard it, but this blessing is meant to be shared out to our families, our workplace, and our communities for the rest of the week. And so, church, while I do applaud the efforts of our church members who bring our non-Christian friends and those who need ministering to church, the truth, however, is this, that we can do far more when we go outside and minister to others with the grace of God. So friends, here is my humble suggestion that as we come for Sunday service, let us not just expect the Lord to minister to us personally, but let us expect the Lord to help speak to us, to equip us and make ready for us as disciples to do His work of discipleship outside the church. Let us remember His commands in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, that we are to go outside and make disciples, not just of ourselves, but the nations around us. We are to tell them about Jesus, His mercy and His grace. And when they come to faith in Him, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we are to baptize them and to teach them the teachings of our Lord. And as we witness and as we participate in the work of discipleship, we also allow the Holy Spirit to shape us and also to mold us, because we too are disciples that are growing all the time. Before I conclude this morning's sermon, I do need to mention that this passage also has an implication for us in PJEFC in the near future. And this is because in a few months, in a month or so, in about 2 months, the worship service and many of the ministries here will be affected by reimagining PJEFC and the upcoming renovation. And this is the reality that we are about to face, that for the next few months, discipleship and worship will look very different for us. Some of us will lose access to what we are used to. Maybe it's a big space like where we can gather like the concourse. And so many ministries like Alpha, sit down, exercise, and line dancing will be affected. It will look very different. Maybe we will lose access to some of our resources, like our parking spaces or the rooms that we are used to gather in. By the way, talking about parking spaces, if you know the Good Day Factory has just opened, if you are looking for a parking space, you can park there. It's about 4 or 5 ringgit for 3 or 4 hours. And I time already from there to walk here is about just over a minute or so. So yeah, if you're looking for parking spaces or you're late to church, you can always park at the Good Day Milk Factory. Yeah, that's a public service announcement. Another thing that we will need to consider is the place that we are going to meet to worship on Sunday. And in this place, maybe if you think 500 people is a tight squeeze, maybe the quality of our services will be affected also. But friends, let us remember this, that most of the discipleship actually takes place outside the four walls of the church. It takes place when we preach the kingdom of God through our words, our actions, and our prayers as we minister to those who need it the most. And so, yes, for the next few months, it is going to be uncomfortable. But friends, if discipleship takes place outside these four walls, let us then remember to always be faithful, even if we are in discomfort. Let us remember what is important to the Lord, and His commandments to us as His disciples. So during this period of discomfort and change, let us always remember that most of the work of discipleship actually takes place outside the church. But also, as I mentioned earlier, coming to church is still very important, even if it feels different, even if it feels uncomfortable, even if it's inconvenient. Because Sunday service is a pit stop to help us grow, to be equipped, and to be ready for the work of discipleship outside. So friends, during the next few months, I urge you not to take a break from church. In fact, I urge you to persevere, to come physically to Sunday service despite these challenges. Because remember, growth happens best when we are in discomfort and when we are learning something new. So just as the Lord sent out the 12 and the 72, every single Sunday, the Lord sends each and every one of us to the mission fields. He commands us to do two things: to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And as we do these things, we need to depend on Him. So as we sing this closing song in a short moment, may I ask us to be reflectful, to be reminded of the Great Commission, that we are to make disciples wherever we are. And if we have stopped doing this for one reason or another, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will convict us, that He will give us strength, wisdom, resources, and energy needed to disciple others. Let me pass the time now to the worship team.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org. Love God, love people, make disciples.